You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
So you're in for a treat as we re-communicate and we clarify our vision as a church and we put better language to the DNA of who we are and where we are going. And if you've been in church for a while, you'll have heard this language of being a partner. We don't have members in church, but we do have partners. And to be a partner, you don't get a medallion or a slip in the post to let you know. It basically is three things. Is you give to the church, you're on a team, or you're in a small group. And we've got a partners night this Tuesday night. So hey, if you do one of those three things in the life of church, you should have got an invite email. If you didn't, then there's something wrong with our system or your email permission. So speak to the team after. But on Tuesday night this week, we've got partners night where we're going to give you more updates on the building, where we're going this term, celebrate together, honor some people. We're going to have a dessert grazing table. Oh, everybody say, ooh la la. So make sure you have dinner, come here with room for dessert. We're going to praise, worship, and have an epic time together. So that's the invite. Sign up at the sign-up area. But as part of this brand new series, we're leading up, we're ramping up to Vision Sunday on the 20th of October. This is our Giving Sunday where we communicate our vision for the next year and we take up an offering of faith for moving across the road and occupying the space, which in Jesus' name will be our new building. And we'll tell you more about that in our vision brochure and through our messages, preaching, teaching over the next few weeks. My message today is called Our Turn Now. Our Turn Now. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's our turn now. It's our turn now. So if you missed last week, we told you our purpose as a church, and our purpose is what? Is to display the supernatural God. Hearing the inaudible, seeing the invisible, believing the incredible, and doing the impossible. And our vision as a church, before you put it up on screen, let me give you some context. The who we are hasn't changed as a church. The what we're about hasn't changed, but we're trying to communicate better what is on the inside, that audacious feeling and what it is to be a sold out follower of God. So our vision for the next 15, 20, 30 light years beyond is this, is a church that makes a statement, growing and grounded in timeless truth for this generation and the next. What does that mean? A church that makes a statement. That's why we've got the exclamation mark at the front. We're here to make a statement that we're here to advance the kingdom of God. We're here to shout and declare the name Jesus. And we're here to do something in this generation that isn't just average, isn't mediocre, isn't okay, but wins the cities that we're in for the kingdom of God. A church that makes a statement. Growing. Well, that means the church is growing. Jesus came to build his church, that through us the people are a part of a growing church, that the Bible says not even the gates of hell will stand against. So we believe the church should be growing. Did you know the average size of a certain denomination of church in the UK is 12 people? 12 people. I'm not saying that to give us some ego metrics about where we're at. I'm here to say the church should be growing. Should be expansive, should be taking ground because Jesus is building his church and we get to play a part of it, a part in it. So growing and grounded in timeless truth. The timeless truth is what? Is the word of God. We're in a society and a culture where the culture wars are raging, where the my truth, your truth, their truth, his truth, her truth, everybody's truth. But we believe there is one truth that is a timeless truth. So we're all about new school methodology and how we look, but at the center is our old school theology of the Word of God. Billy Graham said it best. He said, the Bible says, growing and grounded in timeless truth. For this generation, hey, our time on earth matters. We've got one life. It matters what we do here in this generation, but also for the next. We're creating a platform and a ceiling for the next generation to stand on and go beyond that which we could have thought, asked, or even imagined possible by faith. So our message is our turn now. I want you to think about some legends of history that inspire you. When I think about the legends of old, I think about people like Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, who because of how they lived their lives, how they fought in their generation, we now live in a much more ethnically diverse generation and society because some heroes took their turn now. I think about people like Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, Gorbachev, and we now live in a much more diverse, politically active society where democracy is at the reign and dictators don't get to have their say because some people took their moment in their generation and took their turn. Now I think about people like Mother Teresa, and now everybody wants to be charitable and give to good causes because she took her turn in her generation. I think about people like William Wilberforce, who through the politics of the day changed the society and done away with the slave trade because he took his turn now. Generations that are known for taking their turn now. And I think if we're honest, all of us want to live a life that makes a difference. We want to look back on our lives and have seen in some respect that we used our time well, we made a difference, we imparted to the next generation. But that doesn't happen by accident. It happens because people take a stand, they get a vision and a purpose from God, play their part in their day, and live for a vision and a cause that is so far beyond themselves. It doesn't happen by accident, but because somebody got a vision. Leonard Ravenhill says it like this: the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized within the lifetime of an opportunity. We today have an opportunity of a lifetime because there's breath in our lungs, time on earth to make a statement, being growing and grounded in timeless truth for this generation and the next. But the danger today is we won't achieve our vision as a church if we settle for average. If we don't use our time on earth well, we've got to make a decision in our hearts that this is our moment in time. This is our turn now. You can fall into fame, but you can't fall into greatness. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in falling into fame. But what I do want for each and every one of us is to live a great life in God that makes a difference, that lays the foundation so that our kids and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren can stand on our shoulders and go to great heights in God for this generation and the next. Let me tell you about a generation in the Bible. It's from the book of Numbers. We're going old school. Everybody say old school. Numbers says this in chapter 32, verse 1. This is a generation of the Israelites. And right now they're at the River Jordan for the second time, about to cross over into the promised land. And the Bible says this, it says, the Reubenites and Gadites, who had very large herds and flocks, saw that the lands were suitable for livestock. These are the lands they're currently in. So they came to Moses and Eleazar, the priest, and to the leaders of the community and said, and you can read their names in your own time, the land the Lord subdued before the people of Israel are suitable for livestock. Where they are right now, pre-crossing to the promised land, hey, it's suitable for livestock, they say to Moses. Says, if we have found favor in your eyes, let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan. Moses said to the Gadites and Reubenites, should your fellow Israelites go to war while you sit here? Why do you discourage the Israelites from crossing over into the land the Lord has given them? Let me give you some context right now as to what is taking place. Many of you will know the story where spies were sent out to check out the promised land. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. 10 came back with a negative report. 2 came back with a report of faith. But the 10 swayed the generation by their disbelief. And so for 40 years, the Israelites wander the desert, going back over themselves, completely lost, not walking towards the promised land that God had given them as their inheritance because of their disbelief and lack of faith. So right now, this is 40 years later. It's like a second bite at the cherry. and they're standing on the edge of the Jordan and thinking about the months and years to come where they're going to cross over and take the land. And some of the tribes, 2.5 tribes, come to Moses and they say, "But Moses, it's pretty good here. Why can't we just stay where we are? It's okay. It's all right. Why do we have to cross the Jordan?" And it's almost like this moment of, to these tribes, what are you thinking? What planet are you actually living on? God has got a land flowing with milk and honey, the Bible says, a rich inheritance for you, but you want to stay where you are and you don't want to cross the river. There are generational promises and a glorious future. And the last generation, because they didn't take their turn, meant that the whole generation had to die out until another opportunity came for them to cross the river and get to the promised land. I don't know about you, but I'm not okay by allowing my daughter to do that which I didn't have faith for. I'm not okay with us telling our kids and our youth that they've got to do what we didn't have faith for. So this whole generation became known as the wandering generation, the aimless generation, those that wandered the wilderness by their lack of faith and by their disbelief because they didn't have the vision to cross the river. Today, church, you and I, we need to live with vision. What is vision? Vision is a picture of the future that produces passion. Vision articulates possibility. Vision doesn't live within the realms of what is, but lives within the realms of what could be. Vision sees what nobody else has faith for. It goes beyond the natural. And so for us, there comes a crossing moment as we ramp up to Vision Sunday, both spiritually as a church in communicating our new vision and purposes, but physically crossing over as we by faith go from this building across Sovereign Way and into the sanctuary. Do we stay here or do we move forward? Do we stand still or do we give it a go? And today we're designed to step out in faith. We're designed to do things that scare us a little bit, that freak us out, that seem impossible because that is faith. And we're called to have faith in God and a God of the impossible. I want to suggest in 12 minutes, 35 seconds, that it is our turn now. There's many things in life that are going to stop us and stop you from crossing over the river with us. I want to talk about three things today that are going to stop you from crossing over the river. Are you ready? I've got a little bit of man flu, so I'm especially unhinged today. So you'll have to bear with me. By faith, preach the word of God. The first thing that's going to hold us back from crossing the river is comfort. Write that down on your notes if you're taking notes. Comfort. In Numbers 32, 4-5, the Bible says, "The land the Lord subdued before the people of Israel are suitable for livestock. And your servants have livestock. If we have found favor in your eyes," they said, "let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan." This is translated as, "where we are, we'll do, it's fine. I know it's not the promised land, but look, we can have livestock here. Can we just stay here? Why do we need to go to all that effort when here is suitable enough? And it's just fine." Have you ever settled for comfort in your life? I think back to 2019, 2020, when Lisandra and I were the youth pastors here, and God gave us a picture and a vision to go and start a youth group, a pop-up youth group in Blaken. Give us a wave if you were here at that time, you'll remember Blaken pop-up nights. And the reason I share the story, because many of you won't know. But we, Lisandra worked in Wimslow, so kind of what Jonas was saying, she was traveling an hour each way, to and from work every single day. And then Wednesday nights, we were going to start youth ministry every week. Friday nights, we were already doing youth. Thursdays was creative. Sundays was church. So to talk about when we say getting out of the comfort zone, it was a huge stretch. And so we decided we'd launch the pop-up nights, which meant that for Lisandra, she'd come straight from work 2 nights a week. She'd eat dinner in the car or upstairs, wherever we were. But we decided that we'd rather step out the comfort zone and live by faith than have a couple more hours by the TV at home. Not a bad thing, just our revelation. And so I remember standing at the pop-up night in Blake, in this venue, looking out. It was dark at night, it was 7:30, it was winter, our first night. And I looked out thinking, is anybody going to come to youth in this pop-up night that we have started, completely out of our comfort zone? Let me tell you what happened after 5 months. We met 100 different young people from the community, 25% of the local high school. 34 of them came to our youth socials at church. 5 came to church, 2 got saved. We met with the head teacher of Blaken High and ran a schools tour in Blaken. The University of Wrexham met with us because they wanted to be a part of it. Local police community support officers met and came to the event. They thought it was awesome. Secured a grant from the council. And the young people we met said this: you need audacious. Dylan said, how can you not be happy at church? Ryan said, this church changed my life. Can you imagine for a moment if we decided to live and operate in the comfort zone and not step out by faith? August just gone, we ran a holiday club in the middle of Blaken, reaching hundreds of kids. Came Amazon, gave us hundreds of kilos of free food. Amazon, I know, Amazon partnered with us. We got a £30,000 grant from the council. Families and kids came to church, and we'll tell you about that another time. But visualize with me for a moment how easy it would have been to just operate in the status quo of the way things are. Do what we've done every year, every month, every week, every day. Sit still, give ourselves a pat on the back for doing a nice, comfortable Sunday service. But God has called us to reach the nations, to be a church that makes a statement, growing and grounded in timeless truth for this generation and the next. And so vision is a strategic offensive weapon given by God to align our hearts with His for kingdom growth and expansion. But how does God deal with comfort? I love this. Numbers 32, verse 17 on the screens. It says, the 2.5 tribes speaking, they said, but we will arm ourselves for battle and go ahead of the Israelites until we have brought them to their place. The 2.5 tribes who wanted to stay in the comfort zone, them were the ones to go on the front line. And so the antidote to the comfort trap in faith isn't to step back from the challenge, but to step forward and step up. And so today, don't feel the pressure from society to be lied to about staying in the comfort trap. When it comes to the kingdom of God, like Jonah said earlier, step out in faith and watch God pour into you and through you and see God do miracles around you because you stepped out in faith. God has not called us to live a life of comfort. Not my words, words of the Bible. We are in our natural nature creatures of comfort. We're warm-blooded. We love the heating on in the winter. We love our cozy blankets by the fire. We love our feet up watching Married at First Sight. Don't we, Mark Garrett? We love to be comfortable, but nobody done anything great for God in the comfort zone. Everybody who's done something great in the book and through modern history and old tradition had to step out in faith. So for each one of us, myself included, there's a personal challenge to reject the notion of the comfort zone and live by faith. It is our turn now. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, our turn now. Our turn. Told you I was unhinged. Point 2. Fear of the unknown. Write that down. The second thing that's going to keep you from crossing the river by faith is fear of the unknown. Numbers 32, 7-8 says, why do you discourage the Israelites from crossing over into the land the Lord has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to look over the land. This is referencing what I spoke about earlier. I think it's in Numbers 13, about the 12 spies that go out to see the promised land. 10 came back with a negative report, a report of disbelief. We can't do it, it's impossible. And 2, Caleb and Joshua came back with a report of, we can certainly do it. They were on the edge of crossing over into something huge. But 10 saw impossibility, whereas 2 saw possible an opportunity through God. But right now, fear was stopping them from stepping in. What happens if it doesn't work out? What happens if it doesn't go to plan? What happens if it doesn't all get knitted together in perfect symmetry like I had imagined? What happened if we fail? And so the fear of the unknown for the second time was about to prevent them again from a historic moment that would ripple through the ages. And so today, church, I want to tell you, you don't need to accept the fear of the unknown when you've got faith in He who is known. You live by faith in the known God, Jesus, as your personal Savior, knowing Him and known by Him. He is with me. So if God is with me, who can stand against me? I don't need to have fear in the unknown when I've got faith in the known. So your language and your declaration starts to change. Start to say things like, what would happen if we did? What could happen if we give it a go? What miracles could take place if God did as we stepped out in faith? What opportunities will come as we move forward from can't do to can do, from won't be to will be, from impossibility to possibility, because faith in the known God gives us confidence in the unknown. In the book of Joshua, four times in the first chapter, the writer says, God says to Israel, be strong, to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Sometimes we've just got to do the things that make us scared on the inside. Psalm says this, I think it's chapter 55, verse 22. Thank you, team. Cast your cares onto the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Cast your cares, your fears onto the Lord and He'll never let you be shaken. Today, fear of the unknown is holding some of us back from stepping into our God-given promises and potential. Some of us have been given opportunities that don't seem to align with what makes sense in the natural, but God is speaking to us about stepping out into the unknown. The good news is when you're in the unknown, you're held in the hands by a known God, a good Father who won't leave us or forsake us, who'll never abandon us or betray us, who leads us on paths of righteousness, the Bible says, for His name's sake, who gives us a lamp onto our feet and a light onto our path. So even in the darkest valley, in the unknown, I will fear no evil. Why? Because He is with me. So when you're in the unknown, know that you're known by the known God and He's with you in those unknown moments. It's our turn now. The third thing, everybody say third thing, praise God, that will hold you back from crossing the river is negative assumptions. Negative assumptions. Numbers says this in chapter 32, verses 7 to 8. It says, why do you discourage the Israelites from crossing over? This is what your fathers did when I sent them. Then on to Numbers 13, verse 33 in the Message. It says, but the officers said, we can't attack these people, so we're back in Caleb and Joshua scouting the land. We can't attack these people. They're way stronger than we are. This is the report they're bringing back to Moses. They spread scary rumors among the people of Israel. Rumors, all aboard the rumor mill. They said, we scouted the land from one end to the other, and it's a land that swallows people whole. Wow. Everybody we saw was huge. We even saw the Nephilim, the giants there. Alongside them, we felt like grasshoppers, and they looked down on us as if we were grasshoppers. 10 spies said, we looked like grasshoppers to them. Since when did the spies become mind readers? How do you know what they're thinking? Let me use a little bit of preacher's license for a moment from the Canaanite side. Now you hear the 12 spies are in the land. Your land's being scouted out because an army's going to come in and take your cities and take everything that you own, right? Talk about freaking out moment. Imagine reporting back to the king. We've heard these 12 spies from Israel are scouting out the land. And the king says, from Israel, did you hear the story about the God of Israel when He parted the seas? Did you hear the story about the God of Israel who swept the Egyptians into the sea? Did you hear the story about even when those Israelites were in the desert, they were fed daily by the hand of God? Can you imagine what has taken place in the palace? But then they hear this story that instead of the army coming and taking the land, They've ran home with their tails between their legs, full of fear. It almost makes no sense at all. And here the Israelites make an assumption based on their own insecurities, and they projected their own insecurities over the Canaanites. They bled their insecurity amongst the people of Israel, and they backed down in fear, psyched themselves out, and got out of there before they even got started. Here's what insecurity does. It inflates everything around you. Insecurity anchors itself in my own skills, ability, strength, and lack thereof. Insecurity magnifies the person's sense of weakness, but I know, and you know, I'm not called to magnify my own insecurity. I'm called to magnify the Lord. And so when your anxious thoughts, your lies from the devil start to get a foothold in your mind, don't magnify the insecurity, but begin to magnify, lift up, and praise the Lord, casting your fear and disbelief onto His shoulders and changing your declaration. And when your negative assumptions shout loud and clear, start to shout the word of the Lord. Say, I am a child of God. I am adopted in the presence of His side. I am more than a conqueror, the Bible says. I am loved. I've got purpose. I've got destiny. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm an heir and a co-heir with God. And you no longer let your negative assumptions rule the day. Oh gosh, if only 40 years before they got the memo. It seems so obvious to us, doesn't it? But some of us are projecting negative assumptions all the time. Not you guys, you're perfect. Cardiff campus. Projecting negative assumptions all the time. Last time I checked, I wasn't a mind reader, and I don't think you are too. Last time I checked, I couldn't work out God's plans for tomorrow or the week after or the year after. So why did I get so consumed in my mind? The Bible says we've got grace for today. God gives us enough grace for today. Grace is made perfect in weakness. So the irony is, when we're weak, we're strong, because we lean in to the Father and to God. So what negative assumptions are you making about your work, about your marriage, about your school, about church, about your life? And if they grab a foothold in your mind, they'll start to erode your faith and erode your heart. Today, I want to encourage you to take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. Because a future generation's inheritance is in the balance. Wasn't just for Israel all those years ago, today. This next generation's inheritance is in the balance, depending on how we live our lives. Does it depend on us? Work like it depends on you, but pray like it all depends on God. And watch what happens as we marry the two together. Because God wants to build His church. His desire is that none should perish. So what's my job and my assignment? To go and reach the lost. Because that's the heart of the Father. And sometimes I make the negative assumptions over my family. And I say, maybe they're too far gone. I'm going to take hold of that root of the negative assumption. And I'm going to lift it out in Jesus' name, and tell my mind and my spirit that God's desire is that none should perish. Some of you have a negative assumption about your body. I can never get well because of my condition. Don't just cut the weed off at the top, because it'll grow back stronger. Get to the root with God and uproot that negative assumption in Jesus' name. Some of you have said, my destiny is to live in poverty all the days of my life. Grab that root and pull it up in Jesus' name. What is it? What does it look like? What negative assumption are you making over your life and over your world? And just begin to lift it up by faith in Jesus' name, because it's our turn now. And so today, each one of us need a personal breakthrough, a revelation of where we are on this journey of crossing over the river. Whether we're in the comfort zone, whether we're in the fear of the unknown, or whether we're living by negative assumptions. And we've got to take a personal responsibility to do the work. God can and will do it, but I've got to work in partnership with God. I've got to align myself with the right people, look at the right things, think the right things, spend time in the Word of God. But by faith, we let God do what only He can do and start to change and renew our minds.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.